John, welcome to Talk Satellite.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Great to have you back again.
We talked just over a year ago, and at that time you were launching the new 9 Series Airborne. Can you bring us up to speed on the main events for iDirect Government in the past 12 months?
Yeah, I certainly can. I'll start with that one that you mentioned. So the 9 Series Airborne, while we finished the hardware product, we didn't get the software done. So we weren't able to fully get it out the door. So the good news on that is that software to launch that comes out in about 3 weeks. In addition to that, it's what we call our defense go-to release of software. It launches our entire 9 Series of products, which, while the hardware has been complete for some time now, I kind of describe it as we've got the Ferrari out of the garage, but we can't get it out of first gear until we launch this new software. They'll run, but they won't do any better than our current product line. So in about 3 weeks, we'll have a load of software called version 4.2 that will allow these modems to scream now. They're going to be running it at full line rates of, and these are substantially higher than our previous version of modems. So it's about 8 new products we're going to be launching with this new version of code. So we're very happy about that. We've got new line cards, new modems, some custom things, including our new airborne routers. What I would tell you is from a business perspective, we didn't necessarily sell a lot of the new hardware yet. The government was kind of waiting to this next version of code. We did sell some. We saw an uptick in sales throughout last fall. Matter of fact, the last Q3 was our second best quarter in company history. We were already seeing things going in the right direction, as I deem them. And this Q1 has been very good, and we expect really great things for the next successive years, probably 2 or 3 years, as we seek to do a complete refresh of the technology that's out there now.
Governments can be great customers. However, some of the regulations and procedures can be challenging. What's your take presently on this sector, and what could be done to improve the process?
We don't necessarily get into where some of the satellite operators get into some of the regulations that they've got. Where we get, I guess, slowed down in our industry is every time we produce a new modem or a new product, we've got to go through a series of hurdles, mostly certifications. We've got to get our transect certified. We've got to get our modems, just the modulation and demodulation of the modems have to be certified by RSTRAT and JSEC. And this process is really cumbersome. What I would do is just have them take our word for it. No, I'm kidding. We've got to find a way to shorten that process. It literally takes a year to do that process, right? So companies get new products. We've got to have a better way of certifying that. And where we struggle with that is that many times the government can't start the procurement process until those modems are certified. Everybody knows they work. Everybody knows we've already done all the legwork on them to make them work. If we could somehow shorten that process, it would be better for both of us.
We are seeing some advancement in antennas and terminals. What's your take on where we are at, and how will these complement iDirect Government's offering?
All of these things are good for us, right? So not only have we seen advancement in antenna terminals, right, we're seeing all the changes in the satellite orbital planes. I'm sure you've seen not only things like high throughput satellites, but now you're seeing things occur in the mid-Earth orbit and the low-Earth orbit, LEOs, MEOs. These things, to me, just present more opportunities. Our modems have traditionally operated at the geostationary level. There's no reason they can't operate at any of the other orbital planes or with any of the additional high throughput satellites. Antennas, of course, the great thing about some of the new technology is because the power of these satellites is now much greater, the antennas can get even smaller and still provide a level of throughput that you typically had to have a bigger antenna to accommodate. Those are good things for the entire satellite industry, right? Although we specifically handle the U.S. government, it really is moving towards bringing the actual consumer into the equation now, where you have companies on the commercial side like Verizon or an AT&T that are looking to utilize satellite. Typically, satellite was an offshoot to general communications. Now it's going to go mainstream, absolutely. And as you probably know from some of your interviews, there is more bandwidth now up in the sky than there has ever been in the history of mankind, with more being launched every day.
How do your government solutions differ from commercial offerings, and what trends in government requirements are you seeing?
Good question. So there's a substantial difference. So the first thing we do, because of our customer base and the people we sell to, which is mostly military, we start out building our product with a much higher specification than on the commercial side. On the commercial side, they're looking for the smallest, least expensive device that can communicate in some way, right? Typically, they'd like high speeds and things, whereas the military, the first thing they want is reliability, very high quality. They do not want to worry about these things breaking down. So we start with a higher level of components. They may not be better components, but they're typically components that can withstand a much harsher environment. The military moves their equipment all the time, right? It's getting banged around. We operate in an environment where we also can't change the software every 3 months or 4 months like you and I do on our phones. The military doesn't want to do that. They want to get a version of code that has a lot in it, upgrade to that version of code, and it'll take them a year just to plan the upgrade. And then once they do the upgrade, they want to be able to stay on that upgrade for a substantial period of time before doing one again because it's so painful, right? They're upgrading the world of government or military networks when they do it. There's quite a substantial difference. Oftentimes, the things that they want on the commercial aren't the things the military would want. Example, a military may want something like an anti-jam capability, not necessarily something you're going to see on the commercial side. They may see an interference mitigation, but typically we're talking about adversaries that want to stop your communications on our side. And of course, encryption and the ability to mask your signal, things along those lines are all things that are important to the military, not important at all in the commercial environment. Transmission security is something I mentioned earlier, but that's the ability to obfuscate some of the things that you're doing, and that's very important on the military side, not so much on the commercial side. So it's funny, internally, we often find ourselves going in different directions. In an ideal world, a company like ours, the commercial side and the military, we'd all hold hands and build the product that makes everybody happy, but we don't do that. So we end up dividing our resources to try to make the government side happy and the commercial side happy. The advantage on the government side maybe is a little bit that there are other governments and militaries around the world that would utilize the same technologies and benefits and things that we build into the devices.
Where do you see yourself as a company in, say, 3 to 5 years' time?
So we've got a lot of exciting things going on now, right? So we finally have arrived. It's taken us a long time. I was commenting earlier today that the 8,000 series of modems that we are currently selling, and now we've just arrived, we've sent out an end-of-life notice. We started building those in February of 2008. It's been 10 years we've been selling that product line. There's two things that are going to happen. Number one, we're going to go out and refurbish and refresh all the technology that's out there with the 9,000 series of products, and that's going to take us at least 3 to 5 years to do that part of it. Secondly, we're expanding our own internal engineering team on the iDirect government side to focus more resources on the needs of the U.S. government and the U.S. military. So we've got a host of new products that we're going to start developing now so that we don't go 10 years without a new product. And we've got some very exciting things that we're looking at there. And we're actually in the process of honing in. We typically talk to all of our customer base and try to work towards an intersection of what we believe everybody needs and wants. And we'll start building that. And that'll include things like rotorcraft, hovercraft kind of things. More things on the marine side. Probably some interference mitigation, anti-jam type of technology. As well as just, as always, higher speeds and potentially smaller things that could go into a UAV or a UAS. And any other waveforms that we might encompass. We're going to look at all that stuff right now and start development of the new products. But we're excited about the future. We've grown substantially over the past 2 years on the government side. We're going to see growth again this year. We're bullish on the market and the economy where we are in our place in it. So I expect in 3 to 5 years to be a good, probably 40% bigger than we are now.
John, thank you very much.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks, Kevin.